morning. Again. Here's an experiment to try at home, and you may have heard me suggest this before. Watch the news for 5 minutes while thinking, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, we are doomed. That's not hard to do. And then watch the news for another 5 minutes while thinking, what an awesome world we live in. So many people are doing good, expressing love, and trying to make life better for others. See whether it makes a difference in how you feel. See whether the news actually seems to change. You might argue, well, the second 5 minutes was just better news. Was it? Or was it just your thinking? We are in our summer prosperity series, and prosperity is all about your thinking. We're using a book called Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth, who was a Unity minister. He wrote this book. He wrote a lot of books, but he wrote this one in 1983. We said last week, prosperity is a state of mind. Regardless of what's in your bank account, you can live in a world of abundance. Actually, we are all living in a world of abundance. We're immersed in what we're calling substance, which is divine creative energy that we can use to bring forth whatever we need. So when I say we live in abundance, let me give you an example. Think about electricity. Electricity was already in the world before we learned how to harness and use it. We believed for so long that any light had to come from fire, whether torches or candles or gas lamps. But the potential for electric lights was always there. When we can't see something, we usually don't think it's really there. So when we say divine substance is invisible, it's only invisible to us for now, until we shape it into something with our thoughts. It's a world of abundance. That's how all our creating works. We're not manifesting something from nothing. Everything we could need is already available in potential. We just finally see it, we open to it, we recognize it as something we can use. As Wayne Dyer has always said, we'll see it when we believe it. Belief comes first. Accepting the law of consciousness. You live in a world of your own consciousness, which is the sum total of your thoughts and feelings, whether you're aware of them or not. And thoughts are magnets. You are where you are because of your thoughts. That is not an easy teaching if you're unhappy with where you are. This is when some of Jesus' followers started to back off from him, when he got to the hard stuff. We shape substance with our thoughts all the time, whether we know it or not. So the good news is, if your thoughts create your life, you can change them. And nowhere is it easier to test this teaching than in the area of prosperity because it's so easy to see results. What you think is what you will experience. And you may not feel that your thoughts influence the big stuff, like the economy. But actually, the Consumer Confidence Index tracks what we think. Economists know what we think affects the business cycles. That's why it's hard to make economic predictions. They don't know how 300 million people are going to wake up feeling or thinking tomorrow. You can watch the stock market to see thoughts in action. It goes nuts sometimes, all based on what people are thinking. You may not single-handedly cause a recession or a boom, but your experience of it depends on your thoughts, whether you meet it with fear or faith. The more you think and talk about economic hard times, the more in sync you are with it, and the more affected you are by it. It's not the state of the economy, it's the state of your mind. And you know, there are always people who prosper in difficult times. You've heard about all the millionaires who were created during the Depression. In the 1930s, there was this guy in Kentucky who started serving fried chicken at his gas station. The local people called him Colonel Sanders. Two guys named Hewlett and Packard ran an electrical machine business out of their garage. A man named Michael Cullen had an idea for a food store where the food was just out on the shelves, And people would come and serve themselves and then pay for it on their way out. He called it a supermarket. Today we call it Kroger. Charles Darrow patented a game called Monopoly in the 30s, and Howard Hughes started Hughes Aircraft in 1932. The worst of the Depression, they saw the Depression as opportunity. They and others bought up bankrupt businesses and real estate and oil wells at very low prices because they believed a recovery would come. Eric Butterworth says, there's no way out. You're always on the side of the problem, or you're on the side of the solution. Or as the Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. You're either adding to your good or subtracting from it by your thinking. Okay, so you've got that. Your experience depends on your thinking. And I know this is basic for some of you, but even if you've heard it 1,000 times, do you now have all the love, health, friends, money, and meaningful things to do that you want in your life? I bet most of us don't live in the realization that spiritual law is available for our use. Although I know some of you make an active daily practice of using the law. We use it. You don't make the law work any more than you make gravity work. It's a law. You're not convincing God to give you something, and God is not doing anything for you. A law just is, and you can use it. You change your consciousness to become synchronized with divine law, which is the ever-present activity of healing, love, and prosperity. It's the one presence and one power in the universe that we affirm every week. I have one minister friend who calls it the universal field of infinite potential, which is UFIP for short. Or you can call it God for short. The more attuned you are to this energy, the more easily and quickly your thoughts become things. There are a couple of ways we trip up on this, even when we're trying to be positive. You remember those bumper stickers that said, expect a miracle? The intention was to urge positive expectations, and that's good, but it's also kind of hoping for magic. The reason all things are possible is because we're dealing with spiritual law. That's why we have faith in the process. Trust the process is actually better advice than expect a miracle. Butterworth wrote about this in his book because expect a miracle was a really popular slogan at the time he was writing, and it just drove him nuts. Again, we say, don't expect a miracle. Don't reduce the practice of truth to the naive effort to coax a magic show from a reticent God. If you really believe that you are entitled to the fullness of the kingdom, the resulting outforming may appear to be miraculous, for wonderful things can and will be done, but it is the natural fulfillment of divine law. The healing you long for, the overcoming you desire, the prosperity and success you've been praying for so persistently, even though you may feel there are fantastic odds to overcome, these things do not call for miracles, but for the disciplined application of divine law and the steady effort to know God. Our goal is to be in tune with the infinite, and hoping for a miracle is in tune with the indefinite. It's counting on a capricious God who might or might not intervene in your life so things will turn out the way you want them to. That's also why we sometimes say, don't ask for what you want. Because asking implies there's a yes or no answer coming from someone or something out there. So instead, we affirm, we claim, we know the truth. And yes, last week I said we ask. Okay, so let me go over that again. We ask first to clarify what we want. Substance can't take the shape of anything if you don't know what you want it to be. We also ask in a way that assumes we are entitled to what we want. And entitled these days is equated with arrogance, and it's not that, so assumption might be a better word. You turn on the faucet and assume you'll get water. You flip a switch and assume you'll get light. We don't worry about it. We have faith it will be there because it always is. That's the attitude we're going for with the abundance of the universe. That's a prosperity consciousness, that anything we need will just always be there. If the lights don't come on when you flip the switch, you know there's a problem somewhere. And so you'll look around your house. Is the bulb burned out? Has a breaker switch been tripped? Is wire shorted out somewhere? Metaphysically, we look within ourselves for those glitches. Any blocks to the divine flow are within us. Something in our thoughts has tripped the circuit. Another way we trip up, besides hoping for a miracle, is believing in luck. Getting sick is bad luck, getting well is good luck. That's to me. We're victims. At the hands of some mysterious, whimsical outer force, the fickle finger of fate. Some of us even carry items for good luck, a charm, a stone in your pocket, things hung on the doorpost or stuck to the dashboard. Even the religious symbols are basically hoping for good luck. And Butterworth, who was probably a grouch, he hammers on this. God doesn't deal in luck. Your fortune begins with you. Change your luck by changing your thoughts. Imagine teaching children that what happens to them starts in them. You'd really have to believe it yourself to teach them. But what power that would give them. And I hope that's what kids are getting here. So they won't go out into the world trying to get a big break or expecting hard knocks. Their lives won't be based on hope and chance. Butterworth says they will know fortune is not something to find, but to unfold. Jesus made a long speech about how we don't have to work, worry, or beg for what we need. He said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think about that. That means our lives are unlimited. Go within often, just to remember that you are God in expression. Butterworth calls you God's living enterprise, and nothing but good is intended for you. The poet Walt Whitman said, henceforth, I ask not good fortune. I myself am good fortune. When we hold this consciousness of oneness with the creative flow, we're working with life instead of against it. You change your luck and your life by recognizing that you are the one shaping substance with your thoughts. Paul said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. And when you do, even the things that could be bad, losing a job, getting sick, may turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. Sounds great, doesn't it? You might be asking, how? Okay, what do I do to transform my mind? We're so conditioned to live from the outside in, to watch what happens out there and react. Well, first we label it, good or bad. Then we react to it. What determines how you're going to feel? Can the stock market make or break your day? What about the scales? 2 pounds up is a bad day, and 2 down is good. Scores, if your team wins, you're happy. If not, really irritable. If you make the sale, you're golden. If not, you're worthless. We label outer circumstances bad and then try to change them. Butterworth says, not to set it right, but see it rightly. Spend time seeing it. Visualize your life as it can be. If we all saw abundance everywhere, the economy would be great. And you know how to visualize. You do it when you worry. If your child is late getting home, if you're waiting for the results of medical tests, you can visualize all kinds of disasters in just a few minutes. Use that power for good. Choose where to focus your attention. If you see and deeply feel what you want, you're paving a road to it, creating a condition that makes that result inevitable. Last week I suggested you spend some time every day establishing yourself in substance, remembering you live in an ocean of divine energy and you can use it. Now add visualization. How do you want to shape substance? What do you want? If you establish yourself in this consciousness of oneness, your attitudes will change, so you won't have to spend all day policing your thoughts. You align yourself with the divine and visualize what you want and then release it. This is worth a few minutes every day, and your thoughts will change naturally. Watch them just kind of shift to being more positive. So you hear how you're not trying to paper over the facts as they are, but to see them differently. Emerson said, prayer is contemplating facts from the highest point of view. So we learn to see with God's eyes. And as we practice, eventually, we know divine order. We know the strength and power and goodness that can come out of the most difficult situations. We saw divine order at work in Charleston. The shooting of 9 black church members by a white racist kid. And those families stood up in court and forgave him. You know I'm usually skeptical of instant forgiveness, but I heard their voices and they really meant it. They transformed their minds literally overnight and they transformed their world. They started a national conversation that resulted in immediate action. The flags that represent resistance and intolerance have been coming down. Not everywhere, not yet. But we see this over and over, how tragedies can be redeemed for good, used to teach us and push us higher in consciousness. And isn't it interesting that this change that's been needed for years happened in an atmosphere of love and forgiveness, not marching in protest. Hating your life as it is now won't make it better. You can't move ahead if you're chained to what you resent. You make changes by discovering who you already are, made in the image of God, and then act accordingly. When the prodigal son went off in riotous living, the Bible says he finally came to himself. He woke up, he remembered who he was. And when the prodigal son was off in the far country, his father was always at home. The divine in you is always available, no matter how long you have forgotten that. Anytime you worry about something, you are seeing, visualizing failure as a possibility. But it's a choice. You can choose to see a good outcome or bad. See yourself as a success or a failure. Which would you rather dwell on? Athletes know this. They spend time mentally going through every move, visualizing exactly how they will win, not how they'll get beaten. Dare to do this for yourself. It can seem grandiose and egotistical at first. You might feel shy, even thinking that you could be a great success or have great love in your life or lead a life where everything just works out beautifully. But in the quiet of your own mind, practice doing that. And if you can't picture what you want, feel it. That might be even more important. Feel the way you want to feel. Positive thinking doesn't make something happen. It synchronizes you with that universal field of infinite possibilities, so it can happen. At first, you might have to stop and remember to center yourself in the ocean of abundance and then visualize what you want in your life. But it gets easier and more automatic, and gradually you'll become one of those people who just expects the best and leads a charmed life. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's begin, as we always do, by taking just a deep, deep cleansing breath and releasing it fully. and bring ourselves to that centered place. Close your eyes gently. If you need to adjust yourself in your seat, just so you feel like your back is straight but relaxed. Continue to breathe into that deep, centered heart space. And begin to use the power of visualization. And imagine yourself as a wave in that ocean of infinite possibility. As you are imagining yourself in that ocean, the vastness of the infinite number of possibilities, bring your attention to your heart and your heart space. And ask yourself which possibility right now in your life do you feel most inspired to express? Visualize that it is indeed possible. And if there is any thought that tries to sneak in that says you don't know how, or you might not have enough resources, whatever that might be that wants to maybe trip that up, gently brush it aside and gently tell yourself, I believe this is possible. And just keep repeating that to yourself. I believe this is possible. Supplied with every good thing. As I am in this field of infinite possibility, I know there are infinite ways that I will be supported and supplied. And continue to affirm, I believe this is possible. This is possible. So breathe that possibility. Breathe that affirmation. Breathe with gratitude, knowing that this is already so. Simply pulled back the veil to see the truth. You are the light. You are the love. You are the presence expressing beautifully, magnificently, uniquely as you. Let's take a deep breath again. And breathe that gratitude in the Alleluia. Alleluia.